Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Have a great hour that's coming up for you all today. Glad you all could join us for it. We're going to kick things off by speaking to Roy Page, if the name sounds familiar. I had the opportunity of speaking with Roy last year. He wrote a fascinating book called A Letter to Evan, and as we're heading into Father's Day, I definitely wanted to invite him back on the program to talk to us not only about how his own personal journey is impacting the lives of so many others, but also what he's doing today to really, I think, help to inspire other fathers out there as well, and even single moms too. Roy, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Cyrus. Pleasure to be back. Thank you.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine, Roy. I was sharing with you before we went live here, really excited about sharing this interview, not only with our online listeners, as well as with our radio listeners as well. You know, A Letter to Evan, it is such a personal thing where you're able to kind of take us into your own relationship with your son, but I think also encourages all in our relationships that we're involved in. What has it been like for you, Roy, to see the way that people that you don't even know are being inspired by your journey?
Yeah. It's been really interesting. I don't think I expected the response that I received. You know, the one thing that I notice is that there's a lot of pain out there, and a lot of people struggle. And so it's been really rewarding for me to have people kind of almost personally identify with me, share their struggles, and show that vulnerability. And, you know, when they do that, it just makes the book more purposeful, and it just has a lot more meaning, you know, to me from that standpoint. And it takes a lot of courage to share a lot of that. And so I'm just thankful and grateful that people find meaning in it and that they're willing to share that with me.
Exactly, exactly. I think that is the thing. So I think that the question that a lot of people may wonder, Roy, is how you began this journey in the first place. What was it that made you not only want to share your own experiences with your son, but also be able to put it in a book where the world will be able to read about it?
Sure. Well, it was a healing journey for me. I had gone through a very difficult time several years ago with divorce and the loss of my father, and the main catalyst being my son, who was a wonderful high school baseball player but sustained an injury that required surgery. And I just watched his grace and wisdom as he undertook his own personal challenge. And I was just moved by that. At the time, I was separated and physically separated from him and my daughter, and I sat down and just started writing a letter, and the emotion just began to pour out in that letter. And so what I intended to be a very short letter to my son of affirmation turned into several months of writing that letter to him, so I ended up giving him about 10,000 words in a letter. I still don't know if he actually made his way all the way through it because it was so long. Mm-hmm. And then I shared that with a pastor before I gave it to my son, and the pastor said, you know, every child should have a father like this, or a letter like this from their father. Have you ever thought about writing a book, Roy? And that was the catalyst for me to begin to write the book. And so it was a challenge, but it was emotionally healing for me. I had hoped that it would help my children heal as well in time, in going through the divorce and the death of their grandfather and Evan's personal struggle. And you know, at times, Cyrus, I think that the one that benefited the most from that experience was me, you know, in writing the book and publishing the book.
You know what, and I think now by extension, Roy, we all are beneficiaries of it. You know, I think one of the most powerful chapters, and I went back and listened to our previous conversation, and I didn't talk as much about that then, but what I thought about with this one that I thought was really important to share was I think one of the most powerful chapters is chapter 6, where you talk about long-distance love. And you're giving us a great comparison, not only between your relationship with your son, Evan, but also your father's relationship with you. How important and impactful was it for you to look back on that, even though he may not say it, that your father showed that he loved you and that you were able to, especially in the end, that know that he was able to know that you loved him as well?
Right. Well, you know, my father was from the greatest generation. I think at that time, a lot of men, you know, were not as expressive towards their children. You know, they were the hunter-gatherer, the provider. My father worked very hard. He traveled a lot, much like I do today. And so through my adolescent years and my teen years, I can honestly say I didn't really see my father that much. You know, we had our vacations. He worked for the railroad, so he was called out at all hours of the night. He would be gone for days, sometimes a week. And so I don't think I really actually appreciated all that my father did for me and how much he really loved me until I entered my 20s. Went to college, you know, came back on the visits. And we just began to, at that point, build a different relationship. I was no longer his little boy. I was, you know, entering my 20s, starting my career, becoming sort of a man and beginning to grow. And so as I reflected back on my experience and relationship with my father, I didn't really want my children to feel that same way. I wanted them to know that I was always present, whether I was physically present or not. And so, you know, it caused me to sort of learn from my past a little bit and try to do it a little bit differently. And I think to this point, you know, I've been successful at that. Evan is now a college student. He's no longer in the home. And so we find ourselves in that same place I was years ago.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think this is one of the most powerful things that you wrote in that chapter, or I actually want to read it, and I shared part of this last time. But I think, you know, it's one of those things that really helps us to see the bigger picture. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's on page 72. And this is what you wrote. I'm not exactly the tough Marine of my dad's era. I'm more emotional and vocal, and I needed to reassure Evan that no matter what anyone else says or does, I am his dad. I am there for him. I loved him before he was born. There has been a connection between us from the moment I laid eyes on him. Evan can't do anything to earn my love. It's just there. He can't do anything to destroy my love for him. My love is always there. It is just like God's love for us as his children. It is always there. There is no substitute. There is no replacement for the love of the Father, even if, no, especially if, there is physical separation. And I thought how powerful that is, because you make the connection, Roy, throughout the book about God and the way that he loves us, the way he loves us as his children, and the way that we're able to, for those who have children, able to love them. How important was that spiritual aspect? You mentioned a couple times already about your pastor and how that connection was something that was important. How has that understanding of God's love helped you as you looked at your own values and relationship with the Father?
Well, you know, I can honestly say I think at the time that I was writing the book, I was struggling. I was struggling spiritually. You know, that type of journey that I was on has a tendency to remove you from the church, but, you know, the steadfast faith and grace of God is always there. And, you know, having my pastor tell me that, you know, you're a good man, you don't need to earn any of this, the light bulb went off. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is always with us, and it's always present. And if we are, you know, in the image of God, then we should be able to carry that forward to our relationships, and particularly our relationships with our children. And I have to tell you, hearing you read that, it's really interesting when someone verbalizes your word. You know, it is very emotional when I think back, you know, on that. But I just wanted Evan to know, and he will make his mistakes. We all do. We're not perfect, and I just wanted him to know that when that happens, that does not separate us. It does not distance us. I may not agree or like it, but it doesn't change the love that I have for him, and it doesn't, I hope, change the love that he has for me and that we share.
Exactly. I think that is so important. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side of our program or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're heading into Father's Day weekend, and we're doing it today with Roy Page. He's the author of a book called A Letter to Evan. But it's not just a book. It is, I think, an experience that we're able to take along with Roy, as well as, I think, a culmination of life lessons that he's able to share, not only about how being a father has changed him, but also how his own growth has changed him. You know, Roy, we're going to talk a little bit later about a challenge that you are now issuing to 2,000 fathers and single moms out there a little bit later. But I want to talk back about what I mentioned earlier, and that was about the response. That is, you know, the response to how you were able to share so much about yourself and your understanding of the balance of life that we all experience, but also, of course, to be able to see that there are people that are really being helped by that. You mentioned that you could not, you know, have foreseen the way it has happened. You know, share with us, though, you know, how rewarding that has been, knowing that it couldn't have happened if you did not share your own story.
Right. That's very true. And, you know, it was really interesting. My editor told me after reading the initial draft, you know, she said, "Roy, I just want you to know that when you put something like this out there, people are going to identify with you personally, and they're going to think that they know you." And that's okay. I've always been fairly relationship-oriented, you know, and I think for me, it goes back to what I said earlier. I think if you give people a platform that's safe, they will share, and that sharing can be very healthy. I'm not a counselor, Cyrus. I don't claim to be. All I did was share my story in hopes that it would resonate with people and help people. And I told Evan, you know, when I began to write the book, because he has a lot of friends that in society today, a lot of children grow up in single-family homes. They have
right.
two parents, but there's that separation. And, you know, I asked my son's permission before I ever did this, and I said, "You have a lot of friends that are in the same situation we're in. Maybe it will help people." And he has a wonderful heart. He's a wonderful Christian young man, and he understood that. I think as it became a reality, though, you know, he thought, Dad's really putting our life out there. And but he's been fine with it. You know, I waited for him to graduate from high school and move on with his life before the book was ever published. But, you know, I just find myself being very encouraged by the courage of others. And if this
yeah.
book was a catalyst for them to somehow share their story or heal or identify with it, and if it just helped one person, you know, and I think I say that in my acknowledgments, if my son was the only one that read the letter and my son was the only one that read the book, then its purpose and mission would have been fulfilled. Fortunately, we've been blessed that others have read it.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned, and it reminded me of something I written in my notes, ironically, Roy, and I want to actually share that from the chapter, It's All Good. You were talking about Evan and his friends. I want to read a passage from what you said and also about an interesting thing that we talk about on the show all the time, but I love the fact how you're able to tie it into your role as a father and also as a man. You wrote this, again, for those who have the print edition. It's on pages 149 and 150. I'm just going to read parts of this because I think it's so interesting. You say this in the book, Roy. "I see Evan's joy mostly when he is with friends. It's like a whole different side of Evan, and I love seeing it. He is engaged, talkative, and he laughs. There is something special about Evan's laughter. People love to hear it because it is rare and a surprise. He is a serious and reserved young man, but when he laughs, his laughter is from his core, from the very center of his being." You go on to say this about your own life, and this is why I wanted to share it. "The curtain has closed on Act 1 of my life, but it is opening for Act 2. During my separation and the beginning of divorce, there was a brief intermission. The short break, it partially for the audience to know a major transition is coming. It is also for me and others on stage with me to reset, change costumes, and prepare for the grand second act." And then you say this, it's a new day. I'm a new person. The way I approach my second act is my choice. I choose not to be bitter, to hate women, or to live on the verge of outrage. I choose a new life with opportunity, healing, and joy. I choose to use my experience to encourage and inspire others. This is God's purpose for this season. He is equipping me and guiding me for his enduring legacy." That's a powerful thing to be able to come to, Roy, especially when you say that you're making a choice. I think there are men out there, and even women too, that need to know that the way that they're approaching their lives right now, the way that they are going about, the way they treat people and the way others treat them, is part of that choice. What has that choice done for you as you have been able to go throughout this second act?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, it is a choice, and it is a personal choice. We can stay stuck where we are, and we can swim in that pool of bitterness, and it can paralyze us. And I think I had some good encouragement, and I had wonderful counsel from wise people. Dr. Curtis Nye is one of those. And, you know, I believe in second chances. We should be, our Lord is a Lord of second chances. You know, if you look through the Bible at all the mess, that was created by certain, you know, personalities and people in the Bible, in some cases, and in most cases, they were eventually very blessed. I equated my journey to finally understanding the book of Job better and what Job went through. And, I've read that book many, many times. But until I actually lived that journey, then all of a sudden it resonated with me. And I just made a decision that, my life did not turn out the way I wanted it to at that point. I don't think anyone ever enters into a marriage or a relationship thinking that it will end. You don't really think about it, and I didn't. I thought my parents would live forever. You know, that didn't happen. We don't have storybook lives, and we're going to face those challenges and trials. And how we address those periods will ultimately, I think, define our character in the long run and who we can become in the long run. I just didn't want it to end there for me. I didn't want it to end in empty liquor bottles or wine bottles or beer cans and things of that nature. And so I just found a way to pour that energy into writing the book. And in doing that, those emotions surfaced and those belief systems that I have surfaced, I was able to draw back on, my parents and how they raised me and how they influenced me. And in doing that, it just sort of helped me get unstuck, and it just pushed me further down that path of healing and that journey of healing. And I through grace and a lot of support, made it through that crossroad.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the thing, and that is why this book is so powerful. You also, say that this experience, you talk about this in the chapter, Holding Nothing Back, that this experience has definitely help you to understand that you are a much better dad. And I think if we can look at our lives and be able to look at where we are today and how life, does, I think, teach us so much about not only the world but also about ourselves. I think it definitely is a thing that we can all appreciate. Do you hope also that is a great thought for other dads out there, Roy, to let them know that, regardless of what has happened up until this point, that the decision, going back to the choice, is for them to be the best of themselves and to be the best father they can be starting right now?
Absolutely. You can pick up the pieces. You can right wrongs. I found that in going through this experience that when I was with my children, my time was more intentional with them. When you go through divorce oftentimes, and I really don't like this about divorce, and oftentimes the children are used as currency for negotiation, and they shouldn't be. And I can honestly say that my ex-wife and I think, tried to buffer our children from that, but I hear the stories and I see the stories where that has not been the case. And so for me, in going through all of that, I made the decision that when I was with my children, that time was going to be more intentional, that the laptop would get closed. We would spend time doing the things that we enjoyed. And when my son left to go to college, he was ready and he was prepared. And I think he knew that he had my support. And it was fun to see him kind of go through that and leave home still very, very grounded. And to this point, he's carried that with him. I know I'm not the only one that's had influence on him. I said in the book that there were times when he would need me and there were times when he would need his mother. And it would be up to him to choose which one at which time. Right. And he has done an exceptional job of that. In our separateness, we still have to be parents. In our separateness, I still have to be a father, and I'm not always great at it. I'm really not, but I think I'm better at it now than I was 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that is again a great thing for us all to be able to realize. Again, everyone, Roy Page is back with us today. We're talking to him as we're heading into Father's Day about his book, A Letter to Evan. But there's so much more that you've been doing, not only blogging, Roy, but also you have a great challenge. What we're going to do is take a quick break here. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the challenge you have welcoming in 2,000 fathers and single mothers to be able to do something very special. We'll talk about that after the break, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
You all stay with us. We'll be right back in 60 seconds with more Conversations Live.
Have you ever lost a loved one? Had to cope with handling their affairs? Found yourself on a fact-finding mission not knowing where to begin? Help your family by securing your important information in a safe, convenient, Internet-based lockbox. provides safe storage for bereavement details, policies and documents, and gives clear direction if unable to speak for yourself. Visit www.virtuallastwishes.com or call 1-877-389-0099.
Is your hope fading fast? Do you feel like it is gone? Failing hope can be awakened, and you have the key. In Linda C. Newberry's book, Say What You Say Is Your Future, she outlines not only the whys of biblical confession, but she gives you a modern-day affirmation that changed her life, and with use will change yours too. Available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon.com and on her website at www.lindacnewberry.com.
And we're back with Conversations Live. And our conversation today with Roy Page, as I said, we are heading into Father's Day weekend. And, you know, Roy is one of those people I definitely wanted to kick off the hour with for our radio listeners today to be able to talk not only about his book, A Letter to Evan, but also a special challenge that he's been able to issue for 2,000 fathers and single moms out there. Roy, how did the idea for this challenge first come about?
Well, I have a book signing this Saturday at a local bookstore in Oklahoma City. And I need to give her some credit here, Sarah Horton, who I wouldn't have been able to complete this project without her help. But I have the book signing coming up, and it was actually Sarah's idea. And she said, you know, Roy, you and Evan love to fly fish, and you've seen the book, Sarah, so you've seen the photos of us doing that. Mm-hmm. She said, what do you think about giving away a fly fishing trip to a father or mother and their child? And you accompany them on the trip. And I said, that's a great idea. And so she thought, what if we had people bring a letter that they've written to their child and we just do a drawing? And so from there I thought, that's a really good idea. What if I could get, I don't know, and I just picked a number, 2,000 fathers to write 2,000 letters to their son or daughter or their children on Father's Day? And because, you know, dads get the gifts, and it's a great day for dads, just like Mother's Day is for moms. And I thought, when that child is giving a part of themselves, wouldn't it be great if the dad would acknowledge all of the gifts and what their children mean to them? And writing a letter or writing a note of affirmation, I think, can be a very powerful thing. I know I love getting personal notes. And so I just thought, well, it's Father's Day week. Maybe that can gain traction. You know, it shouldn't begin and end this week, in my opinion. So it was a good time, I thought, to issue the challenge. And, you know, the challenge will go on, I hope, forever. And hopefully it will gain traction, and it will just build on itself. And so that's really kind of how I wish I could take all the credit for it, Cyrus. I can't. Someone else kind of planted the seed. I just happened to take it to, you know, to a little bit different level with the 2,000 letters from 2,000 fathers.
Right. And Sarah, my apologies as well. I should have mentioned you as well as being the co-author, Sarah Horton, again. You know, Roy, I think this is a great thing.
I'll hear about that later, by the way. Yeah. I'll hear about this from her later.
Well, hopefully we've made it right, Roy. But, you know, I am not a father myself yet. I am, though, a very proud uncle of my little nephew, Octavian. And my brother, you know, he's my brother's son. And, you know, what I think is so great about this, and I've seen them together, Roy, and I think, you know, that bond is so special. And I love this idea of the fact of everybody getting something. Of course, as you said, yeah, the fathers will be getting gifts. What a surprise it would be for a father to be able to share something special with their child as well. You know, I think it's a great idea, and we're glad to do what we can to help spread the word. So we do encourage our listeners out there, no matter how you're listening to us, and we'll be writing an article for examiner.com on this as well this weekend. And we definitely encourage people to do this, to take out this time to be able to write that note, write that letter to your child to let them know what you would want to share with them, and also that the opportunity to say thank you. I mean, it's something that is so simple, but it is so powerful. You know, Roy, what I thought about this week, of course, you know, it was another horrible shooting that took place at a school this week. And I was watching CNN, and while they were doing the interview with the parent, one of, you know, their child actually called from the school. They had not heard from their child. And the thing I heard the father say to that child was, you know, I love you. And mm-hmm. and I thought how powerful that was, how, you know, of course, the, you know, the child, you know, says, you know, I know Dad, you know, but just to hear those words, you know, what
right.
it means to someone. So I can imagine that is a powerful thing. So I think it's
sure.
great that Sarah and you have been able to come up with this, to be able to make it something that should go on. It should be a continual
right.
thing. So, Roy, you actually have a place on your website where people can go. Give out the website where they can go to read more about
sure.
the challenge and how they can sign up.
Sure. My website is aletterToEvan.com. And all they need to do is click on the 2,000 letters from 2,000 fathers tab. There's a little counter in there. All they have to do is just log in, and we're going to let it continue to count and sit there and see how many fathers we can, you know, we can encourage, and single moms. I don't want to downplay that either, and you haven't, which is great. There are a lot of single moms that are going to be acting the part of dad and have been doing that. So this is for everyone. This is a call to action for everyone, and a challenge of encouragement for everyone. And outside of, so that's aletterToEvan.com, and just click on the 2,000 fathers or 2,000 letters from 2,000 fathers. And, you know, I think it's wonderful that dad said that. I think sometimes dads are not always as expressive as we could be. You know, by and large, you know, we don't always communicate well, but that letter is something that will live on forever. And hopefully those children tuck those things away in years down the road. They find them in a drawer or wherever, and they pull out that letter or that note card, and they see dad's words. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a big part of the challenge also is, you know, we send a lot of texts today and a lot of emails, and those get deleted, and they end up somewhere out in cyberspace. I don't know. But
right.
but a handwritten letter from dad or a handwritten letter from mom that can be tucked away and someday found can have an awful lot of meaning, I think. To our children, and so, you know, that was a big part of the catalyst as well. And you know, when I wrote my letter to Evan, I had no idea that I would begin to think about the written word and a written letter in that form or fashion. But I always find it really kind of interesting when my mom pulls out these letters that I wrote to her and dad when I was in college, because we didn't have cell phones at that time, so I just dated myself. But you know, it's just kind of fun for me to look back on those, and obviously it meant a lot to my parents, which is why they kept them. And who knows how many times she's gone back and read them. So it's really just about leaving a legacy of love and notes of affirmation.
Exactly. Totally agree, Roy. So congratulations to you and also to Sarah Horton for
yeah.
the great book, A Letter to Evan. Again, everyone, make sure you go to the website, aletterToEvan.com. The book is available, of course, wherever you buy your books online as well. Make sure you guys do take advantage of getting the book, helping to spread the message, not only about the challenge, but also, of course, I think, about the journey that Roy has been able to share with us and, of course, that we can now be a part of as well. Roy, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it. And it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. I'd love to stay in contact with you.
Well, that sounds great, Cyrus. And I'm sure you're a great uncle, and I know someday you'll be a great dad, too. So thank you very much for having me, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Well, look, I appreciate your saying that, and we definitely do thank everyone for joining us for this edition of Conversations Live. For radio listeners, it's just the first part of our program. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'll be speaking with Heisman Trophy winner Eddie George. We'll be talking to him not only about his career, but also what it's been like for him being named, of course, Daddy of the Year by Daddy & Company, which is a great company that celebrates fatherhood. And we're going to talk to Eddie not only about that honor, but also what it's been like for him to be able to balance his professional life and personal life and what he hopes, you know, other fathers are able to realize about what's possible for them. That's coming up for our radio listeners at the bottom of the hour. For the rest of you, thank you so much for joining us again for another edition of Conversations Live. Until next time, I am Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.